We were just laughing because we realized this is an audio podcast, so we don't have to fluff our hair. Smile, look pretty.
Yeah, we're just sitting here talking to you.
Isn't it liberating when we don't have to worry about what we look like?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I can slouch. Relax. Yeah.
So this is Clit Talk. And today, this is going to be, I've wanted to do this episode for like 4 months. I want to do an episode on orgasm.
Yes.
Because truly, the orgasm gap is the original gaslighting.
Yes. Yes. And that was also Betty's big push. We couldn't truly be equal. Men could not be, women could not be equal with men until we had equal orgasms.
And, you know, why? Why is that so? Because if I can't connect to my body, if I don't know what an orgasm feels like, what it should look like, how do I generate it in my body? So there's all this misinformation. And we're going to get through all the bullshit today.
Right, right.
Okay.
And all the information that has been withheld from us purposefully. We're taught about our reproductive anatomy. We're not taught about our pleasure anatomy. We're not given permission to orgasm.
And, you know, frankly, we're not given time.
Yes.
You're 13, 14, and all of a sudden everyone's on you to date you. And then you get a little boyfriend or girlfriend. And if you're heterosexual, you end up getting pregnant and having an abortion, or you end up getting sexually abused, or you end up getting sexually assaulted. And so, like, for girls and women, like, we don't get out of the gate.
Exactly. Yes.
Before we're hammered down.
Yes. Yes.
And I will say this, I have never sat with a woman or a client that ever blamed anyone but themselves for their inability to achieve orgasm. I'm here to tell you, it's everyone else.
Right, right, exactly. We always blame ourselves. So, Carlin, what is an orgasm?
An orgasm is an autonomic body response. What does that mean? It is a reflex, like a sneeze.
Yes.
Like digestion. If you stimulate your body the right way for the right amount of time, you will have an orgasm. So the breakdown comes from a couple of different myths.
Okay.
First, the ones I hate the most. When people go, oh, if you have an orgasm, you'll know.
Right.
That is not true. Because that's the male model of sexual response, right? Quick arousal, you get an erection, you penetrate. Voop, Kinsey put the average of 5 minutes to ejaculation. You ejaculate, you pass out. You know you had an orgasm because you ejaculated.
Yes, yes.
Female model of sexual response. Little waves of good feelings that come in and go out. And come in and go out. Most of us, when that first wave comes in and timed with our male partner, because most of us are heterosexual, as soon as it comes in, we're feeling it, it's building, and we go, oh, it's good, I'm going to get to that orgasm. And then it goes out, and they ejaculate, and we go, oh, I lost my orgasm.
Right, right, right. Well, it takes us longer. The buildup takes longer. It takes longer for our internal clitoris to become erect, and we can't see it.
And most of us are so repressed, we can't feel it. And that's another thing. We're disconnected and disassociated from the body. So you have as much erectile tissue as a penis, but it's inside.
Yeah.
Because it's inside, it takes longer for the blood to go in.
Yes.
So as you're building up your erection, you have these little good feelings that come in and go out. And I always say it's like being on the shore.
Right.
And the wave goes and the wave doesn't break and you kind of just go, woo, and you kind of jump up with it.
Yeah. Right?
That's what female orgasm is. So what's interesting or fascinating to me is if we can't recognize those small waves, we can't get to the big one. So because the wave comes in and goes out, and then what do we think? A negative thought. But, oh, I lost it. What's that? Eyes open. And then we're upset. We're critical.
Right, right, right. And some orgasms are small. Some orgasms are big. Honestly, as an individual, my orgasms vary. Every time I have one, like it's almost like snowflakes and vulvas. They're never exactly the same and they vary in intensity.
And that ties in to our other inability to recognize the orgasm, right? Mm-hmm. Because we look at men and they're pretty much the same all the time.
Right, right.
So we have so much diversity, and it's a function of our hormone levels, which are different every day, mm-hmm. our stress levels, and our age.
Yes.
But if we keep on going and stimulating our bodies, and that means we take some breaks, but we keep the connection, mm-hmm. and we think positive thoughts.
Yes.
Each time the wave comes back, in general, it's going to build an intensity. And you're going to need 15 minutes for the first wave.
At least.
At least. Mm-hmm. And then to get to the full body, you're going to need at least 30 minutes.
At least. Yes. Yes.
And it can be more. These are all generalizations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the other myth, like, oh, it feels like fireworks. Remember when they say an orgasm feels like crossing a bridge?
Right. What does that mean?
I was like, what do you mean? When I walk across the bridge, I'm not coming.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's the buildup of tension in the body and then a release. Mm-hmm. And like you said, Laura, it can be very subtle. Mm-hmm. So it can be, you know, we don't talk about the diversity in orgasm responses in women.
Right.
And so when I worked during COVID lockdown on my, you know, computer, watching women build up to orgasm over Zoom, you get to a few hundred and you realize there is a difference. So sometimes the orgasm comes in and you come up and you drop. Mm-hmm. And that's what mm-hmm. everyone wants.
Right.
But sometimes the orgasm comes in and you kind of go up and you stay there.
Yes, yes.
And then you slide off a little. Mm-hmm. And those are the orgasms that frustrate women because they don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's not an orgasm.
Right, right. And those are the ones that I like riding that edge, because it's this feeling of intense pleasure. Like I almost don't want to orgasm when I'm like kind of like riding that edge, because it just feels so good. It's like surfing and you're at the top of the wave. Not that I've ever surfed, but I imagine that.
No, but that's what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're at the top of the wave. Mm-hmm. And I always say that to clients I'm working with, that they're frustrated about being in that moment. But when you're really advanced and connected to your body, you want to stay in that moment as long as possible.
Yes, yes.
What makes you crazy, we love.
Right? Exactly. Yes, yes. But it takes, you have to know your body. You have to understand your orgasm and know your body in order to be able to get there and have the confidence that your orgasm will be there. It's going to come.
Well, that's when we get into the belief system.
Right.
So we want to change our behavior, right? Because if we want to have orgasms on a regular basis and we want to have them quickly with partners, mm-hmm. we have to self-pleasure. We mm-hmm. have to touch our sex organ on a regular basis. And it's really hard for us to move into that behavior. Because mm-hmm. we've been taught our whole lives not to touch.
Right.
Cross your legs. Mm-hmm. We don't want young girls exploring their bodies because we think they're going to be nymphomaniacs. And that's the furthest thing from the truth.
Exactly.
So touch, touch, touch. Mm-hmm. If you have a hypersensitive clitoris, you feel everything, touch. You feel nothing, touch. You're going to get oil. You're going to pop on our vulva pleasure zones. You can watch that. Then you're going to do vulva massage and you're going to get that blood flow and you're going to figure out how and where you like to be touched.
Yes, yes. And I'd say put down the vibrator for this part yes. of it, because the vibrator just kind of gives you good feelings all over.
You and can't you pinpoint it.
Right, you can't, but with your fingers, you can pinpoint it, and your fingers are building up. And for some women, a vibrator feels too intense, too, but your fingers won't, with plenty of oil.
And touch all the parts.
Yeah.
Because when we did vulva pleasure zones, I was like, I think there's like 10 different mm-hmm. areas, but everyone's different. I think that's another thing that is a hindrance for some women. There are different parts that feel best, and yes. everyone is different. So some women like to go directly on the clit. Very few do, though.
Mm-hmm.
Most like the shaft, that ligament that attaches the clitoral gland to the pubic bone, right above the pubic mons.
Right.
That can be sensitive. Sometimes for me, it's the right top of my outer labia is where I start.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Your labia can be sensitive around the vaginal opening, the perineum, the outer labia, inner labia, the underclit.
We had to name it, just so you know.
Right.
That little smooth area above your vaginal opening and below your clitoral gland, that little pearl with 10,000 nerve endings. We were at a retreat, remember?
Yes, yes.
And I'm like, stroke that area with a finger. See if you like it. Sometimes coming under your clit and coming up is what really feels nice. And I said, well, someone asked me what the name, and I'm like, we don't have one. So someone put their hand up like, it's the underclit.
Right.
There we go. We don't have names.
Yes, yes, yeah.
For the parts of our sex organ that feel best. Sometimes it's a light touch. Sometimes you have more pressure. I've had clients where they take a middle finger and they go down the center of their vulva like a little butterfly wing.
Right, right.
And then I have clients that are tapping on her.
Yeah, like give it a good tap. And sometimes it's like, do you like slow strokes? Do you like quick strokes? And it's going to vary depending on where you are in your arousal. It may change as you get closer to the orgasm. So these are all things that you need to experiment with. There's no one way. There's only your way.
Exactly. So you always want to kind of start off slow and low. And build, because the thing, when we have those little mini waves coming in, and they're coming in, the way we get to the big orgasm, the full body, which is when we, you know, the first orgasm starts in the pelvic area, and then we start to pull the energy, and our fingertips get tingly, and our lips get tingly, and to do that, we need to keep on adding up a little bit more. So if you start high,
yes,
you're going to have a quick orgasm, and then it's going to be sensitive.
Right. Right.
It's almost like we have to tease ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like orgasm is like burlesque with women.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Low and slow, building, 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 adding stimulation, adding fantasy, adding all of these things. It is the length of time you stimulate your body that will get you to that full body.
Exactly. Exactly. The right stimulation for the right amount of time will bring you to orgasm. And Carlin, I love how you always talk about shifting your mindset from scarcity to abundance. What's that about?
All women can have multiple orgasms. Mm-hmm. I watch Betty Dodson have them till 91, laying next to me in workshops. So I was seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel like I could have a TED talk and say nothing can block a woman's orgasm. Betty and I worked with a woman who had her clitoral gland removed.
Mm-hmm.
She got to the orgasm.
Right.
I've worked with clients that were paralyzed from the waist down, had strokes as infants, neurological disorders, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the orgasm because our sex organ is so divine and so complex and it never ages.
Mm-hmm.
But see how if we think there's such thing as anorgasmia, if we think orgasm is hard, if we think it only will happen if I'm in love.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Right? Or with the if I find the right partner.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard that said about male sexuality.
Right. Right.
I've never had a guy say I can only ejaculate if I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
True. Right. Yes. Yes.
I've heard men say I can't ejaculate if I'm in love.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard that. So if we think these things are hard, if we think it's difficult, if we think someone's going to give it to us,
yeah,
then we're in this passive role and we're waiting. An orgasm is a physical event in the body. We have to work at it. We have to make the connection. We have to light up the pleasure network. It is ours, but it's like, it's a workout.
It is, and it takes practice. Like, you wouldn't expect to run a marathon, you know, by just like walking around the block and saying, okay, I'm ready for the marathon. Like, you know, it takes practice. It's a physical activity in the body. And you really, to get good at sex, you need to practice by yourself. I remember a Betty quote, just like anyone who is good at sex is a consistent masturbator.
How we masturbate is what we bring to partner sex.
Exactly.
You can't wait. If you're saying, oh, it takes me too long to orgasm with a partner, no doubt.
Right.
If you're not masturbating and you're not stimulating yourself, but what it's muscle, it's a muscle, it's muscle memory. So if your body isn't familiar, like my body goes right into orgasm and people have said, oh, you come too fast. People have said that to me.
Yeah.
And it's because I'm so in touch and I'm so familiar and I believe it's going to happen.
Yes, yes. And you've practiced. You have built that connection between the nerve endings in your vulva, right? Going up the vagus nerve to your brain. Like your brain knows what's going to happen when you stimulate these nerves. And I hate to bring the brain into it because it's really all about the clit. Your clitoris is your primary sex organ.
It's neural pathways of pleasure. It's memories of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That are in the brain. And it's the brain connecting to that sensation and taking a back seat. Because that's another thing for women. It's hard for us to let the body lead.
Yes.
And the only way we get to do that is we distract the mind with fantasy or we focus on the sensation, but we keep on doing it. There will be a moment, if you're an overthinker, and we all are, because we're all overachievers. If you keep on consistently self-pleasuring, there will be a moment where you stop questioning.
Yes.
You start believing, you start feeling more, and you learn how to, you know, that it's like meditating, that moment of empty mind.
Right.
That's what you're learning how to do, how to shut off the mind and focus on what you're feeling.
Right, right. Yes. And it's okay if you start vulva massage and you don't feel anything, like, or you don't feel what you think you should be feeling, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Keep going back, because if you just kind of like, you know, rub your skin, if you massage your elbow, right? it does feel good. It does feel pleasurable. It's relaxing to touch your vulva. But I think we have to get over like some of the social conditioning first. And then we also need to develop those neural pathways.
And we have to make time. Mm-hmm. The hardest part of this whole process is making time to touch your body just because it feels good. I'll be working with them and they'll say, oh my God, I had to sit three times to do vulva massage. We can't ever take time for ourselves.
Right.
And that's why I feel like it's the most revolutionary feminist act when I say, you know what? I'm going to lock my bedroom door. I'm taking a break, everybody. And I'm going to take 30, 40 minutes for myself. And then I'm going to go out and do what I need to do for the day.
Yes.
You know, creating that ritual of touch and creating that ritual of pleasure in our lives. I am always better after an orgasm.
Oh, I am more productive after an orgasm, right?
Have you ever regretted having an orgasm, Laura?
Never, ever. Never, ever.
I've never sat there and been like, oh, that was a waste of time.
Right.
I could have been, you know. I have regretted binge watching things, though.
Yes, yes.
I have regretted relationships.
But I've never regretted masturbating, right?
When we did that Goop episode, and they, if you haven't watched it, it's The Pleasure of Ours. And on it, we go through general show and tell, and then I have an orgasm using Betty's rock and roll technique. And they debuted it at a theater in downtown New York. So imagine you're watching something and your vulva is the size of a compact car. And then you're watching yourself an orgasm with 200 people behind you in a theater. It was pretty intimidating. But anyway, when we came out, and everyone was coming around to say hello to Betty, and we're all doing this thing. The women kept like asking me the question was, weren't you nervous you couldn't have an orgasm? And I remember stopping and looking at Betty, who was beaming at me. And I just said, wow, it's the one thing I didn't think about.
Yeah.
I thought about what I wore, how I did my hair, my jewelry, you know, because I didn't want to do anything that was off-putting and I wanted to be kind of plain but likable, how I spoke.
Yes.
I never thought about that. So I remember in my 20s and 30s feeling like my orgasm was hit or miss.
Right.
And I remember chasing the orgasm, that tension, that like, ah, if you consistently light up your pleasure network and touch your body, you will get to the point where you're going to have a $500,000 Panavision camera between your legs in a room full of people and have an orgasm. And I had multiples.
Right, right. Yep. Well, that was the greatest advice that you gave me when I was working on improving my orgasm and being able to orgasm more reliable. You said, let the orgasm come to you. And that's it. You enjoy the pleasurable feelings, but you don't make it the goal. You don't anticipate it. You just kind of like, oh, you know, I feel good. My body feels good. This touch feels good. And then eventually your body can't help it. You orgasm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. If I'm stimulating my body and I'm believing wholeheartedly, I know I'm going to have an orgasm and I can just relax. Mm-hmm. Orgasm is creative energy.
Yes.
And we're not creative when we're on the clock. Mm-hmm. Creativity is I have time, I have space, and I'm going to play.
Yes.
And because really how I stimulate my body changes. Mm-hmm. Pleasure is doing what feels best in every moment. Mm-hmm. And that's my guiding principle when I self-pleasure is that sometimes my vaginal opening is really sensitive.
Right.
Sometimes it's not. Mm-hmm. So it's not like there's one way. So I just like whatever feels good, if it feels good, I linger.
Yes.
And having that kind of like open, flexible perspective. Mm-hmm. Really supports getting to that orgasm.
Exactly, exactly. You know, and like, you know, if your leg has a cramp, if you have to go to the bathroom, if you need a drink of water, you're not going to lose your erection. Go take care of yourself. Like, you know, move, go to the bathroom. You can still get to the orgasm. When you go back to stimulating yourself, you just pick right up where you left off.
We are not like men.
Yeah.
Because with men, if they lose that erection, they start from zero. Mm-hmm. As women, we can start be getting our arousal, getting our blood flow, building, stop, take a break, hang out. Go back, we're right where we left off. Build, stop. I learned this in the workshops because I had to take breaks because I'm working the room. So it's like, oh, we need more water in the water pitcher, or oh, my battery's died, or I need to charge my this, or I need some more oil. And taking those breaks and going back, and it was like, wow, it's right there.
Yes, yes, yes.
I don't think that's something I've ever got from the culture.
No, because it takes longer for the blood to flow into our clitoris for there to be an erection. So it takes us longer to be aroused, but it also takes longer for the blood to flow out, which is why we can be multi-orgasmic.
And isn't that wonderful? But see how if we don't know that?
Right.
So if we don't know the female model is waves of good feelings, if we don't know it takes 15 minutes to hit the first and 30, 40 to hit the full body, if we don't know that we're capable of endless pleasure and that the orgasms will come and that we can take breaks.
Yes.
You could even, you know, I've never done this, but I really want, I was thinking maybe I could do this over the summer. I want to see how long of a break I can take.
Ah.
Before I lose my arousal, my erection, because I've taken as much as 5 to 10 minute breaks and it's right there. And Betty used to say all the time that sometimes fucking was foreplay for masturbation because if she was with a male partner and they were done,
right.
She's like, oh, I'd jump on the subway. She lived in New York, go home. And she goes, and I it was right there. And I just beat off and I get, I have my orgasm. And I was thinking like the average subway trip is probably 15 minutes.
Right, right.
But I was like, that would be fascinating to know like how long we can take a break because that's incredible.
I think 30 to 45 minutes, you know, if like you're fully erect, right? And yeah, I mean, I think it's longer than that. I think you can go probably 30 minutes at least. I think about that in the workshops because, you know, there'd be times when like I'm talking to people and I think I was done, But, you know, I'd hear someone else orgasming, I'd get inspired to go back in. And then my orgasm was right there too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I can pee.
Mm-hmm.
And I can eat something.
Right.
And I can get a drink and I can mm-hmm. stand up and have a conversation. You know, Betty and I always said that women were so much more attuned or ready for like orgies. Mm-hmm. Like, a woman's body is kind of made for multiple partners in group situations. A man's right. body is not.
Yes, yes. Because we can keep going and going and going. And I love, Carlin, your other line about how the clitoris is the only organ on a body, a human body,
that never ages.
Solely, that never ages and was created solely for pleasure.
I mean, if that doesn't tell us that we have greater capacity for pleasure. So that's mm-hmm. the gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't change when you age because I'm menopausal, you're postmenopausal, and guess what? We're having multiples.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It never shifts. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about what an orgasm looks like and feels like, because I think that's a big disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing the rock and roll and I'm on Zoom and I'm watching, I started to take notes. And I started to see that there are like lots of different orgasm combinations.
Right.
But there are ways that orgasm goes through the body that's the same for most women.
Mm-hmm.
So what I would say is they'd be doing the rock and roll. So they're on their backs, their knees are bent, their feet are on the ground. They're doing penetration with clitoral stimulation. They're moving, they're breathing. And you can see they're thinking. You can mm-hmm. see they're not feeling that much. Mm-hmm. You can see they're like, yeah, I could be doing something else.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden there'll be a moment where the body just starts, like there's a rhythm. Mm-hmm. And the body kind of starts moving
yeah.
and moving. And the butt muscles are clenching. And the leg muscles are moving and clenching mm-hmm. and flexing. Mm-hmm. And then there's a little shake sometimes.
Right.
There can be a lot of shaking in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And without fail, there will be an orgasm tell.
Yes.
And for many women, it's like, I press my lips together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I lick my lips, mm-hmm. you know, there'll be a tell where like it's unique to you.
Right.
And then you're right before the orgasm. So it can mm-hmm. be helpful to kind of pay attention to what's going on in the body, maybe even videotape yourself just to see what you look like.
Yes.
And what your tell is.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's building, we're getting closer because of build up. Oh, and then a release. Then everything yes. drops.
Right. Right. Yes. It's not like in porn. And mm-hmm. I think that that's the model that we have, the only model that we have. But most women who are in pornographic films are not orgasming. They're acting.
You don't want to orgasm because then you orgasm, you don't want to have sex anymore and you kind of right. need a moment. So yeah. they're getting paid, they're working, and it's mm-hmm. the last thing you want to do.
Yeah.
Releasing sounds, usually right before an orgasm. That's when we hear a little sound. It's very mm-hmm. important for us to get used to saying sounds. And the sounds of orgasm are like a, oh, oh,
mm-hmm.
oh, deep and guttural.
Right. It sounds more like childbirth than what we're yes. used to hearing that.
No, yeah. not, no. And then your head goes back. In general, the head goes back, like the body's opening. Mm-hmm. And then I know it's a full body because we keep on having these waves and this is what we see in the body. And the tell is always like the feet come off the ground mm-hmm. and then they roll to the side. It's almost right. like I've had enough pleasure.
Right. Yeah, 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 done. Yeah.
But I can always take another.
Mm-hmm.
And I go until my heart is pounding. I have mm-hmm. a light sweat. Can you imagine being able to experience multiple orgasms and never taking an hour or two just to see how far you can go?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the beauty of being in a body sex workshop, because you're motivated, like there's nothing else to do. And you have the support of the other women in the circle to keep going.
And the inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have any of our life distractions.
Yes.
We're in the space. But that's, I mean, that's when I started really going longer.
Yes.
And understanding that I couldn't lose my arousal, and understanding that arousal precedes desire.
Right.
Because when we're doing vulva massage and we're warming up, do I want to have an orgasm? Do I feel a lot of sexual desire? No. Mm-hmm. But the more I arouse my genitals and I get that blood flow, then I create the desire. If you wait till you feel a desire, you'll never do it.
Well, that's it. And touch creates arousal. So touch, arousal, desire, and then you're going to want it. So, you know, you're not going to ever feel aroused if you're not stimulating yourself.
No. Well, maybe when you're young and you meet someone really great and you're not stressed out or you're traveling, but that's hit or miss, baby. Life is stressful. Mm-hmm. Life is boring. Mm-hmm. If you think you're going to be in a monogamous marriage and have a family and be having crazy desire all the time, you're out of your mind.
Right.
Sorry.
You know, or you might read an erotic story that just kind of gets you going, or have a thought or a memory. I mean, that it can happen. I mean, that still happens to me sometimes. But at the end of the day, it's got to be touch that's going to bring in the blood flow.
You know, this past weekend I watched Jesse Buckley in Men.
Oh, okay.
It's a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. And it opens up with the shocking scene where she's ending her marriage. She's having the conversation with her husband. She's like, you know, it's just not working, blah, blah, blah. And he goes into the whole, how could you do this to me? I'm going to kill myself. This, you're going to be sorry. He's guilt tripping her. Mm-hmm. And then they go into the kitchen and they're talking, and he's saying why, and she's giving the reasons, and out of nowhere he punches her in the face and she falls to the ground, and she's like, this is how you're going to get me back. And I'm watching this and I'm like, oh, what is going on? He ends up going to the apartment above them and jumping off the apartment and killing himself, right? So she goes into the country to take a break, a vacation. And a series of really weird things start happening, right? Mm-hmm. And I found myself, I think because, okay, so every guy in the town is the same guy with the same face, but old or young.
Okay.
So already you're setting up as it's not normal, right?
Yeah.
And they're all really weird, and they're all overstepping their boundaries, and they're all over her. And she's like, I'm here to be by myself. And why are all these men all over me? You know, and one's like the vicar, and one is the real estate agent, and one is this little kid, and it's all these different men. It's just like, she's besieged by men. Mm-hmm. Now it's not erotic.
Yeah.
But I found myself sitting on the couch and just playing with my vulva. And I think it's because it was clearly from a woman's perspective. Uh-huh. And it was this speaks to my experience of just having men all around you, wanting something from you, manipulating you for it, or trying to use their violence to scare you into what they want, right? And the whole time she's steadfast.
Yeah.
So I was just... I thought of you, Laurie, because you always say, I sit in my easy chair and I just stroke my vulva.
Right.
I didn't even have any oil. And I'm just stroking her. And all of a sudden, it really got good. And then there was this scene where she shoots one of them who's trying to get in the house. And then he starts giving birth to another one of himself. So there's this birth scene, and you see the head coming out of, I guess it's like his vagina, but it must be his asshole. But the man is giving birth, and it's another man just like him.
Oh my gosh.
And that was really, because it's they're giving birth to each other. The manosphere. That's what it is.
Yes.
Maybe it was the acknowledgement of my experience.
Yeah.
That I found incredibly arousing. So at this point, I'm like, all right, it's got to end because I'm ready to go upstairs. I'm ready to grab my vibe.
Right.
And the last scene, they keep on giving birth, then they give birth to her husband. Mm. And he comes in and he sits on the couch. And she says, what do you want from me? Mm-hmm. And he looks at her and he says, I want your love. And it was like, yes! That's the whole experience of being a woman. Yes. So I'm really sexually frustrated now.
Mm-hmm. I've been playing and petting and massaging is not enough.
Right, right.
So I go upstairs, I grab my vibe, I grab my oil. My husband was working on the second floor, so I'm like, I'm going to the attic. I went up to my attic where I have my chaise, and I had this glorious orgasm. But I had pretty much been playing with my pussy for a good hour.
Right, right.
And so when we think about inspiration, when we think about erotic moments and how do we create desire, don't discount, like, seeing your story, watching films created by women or literature mm-hmm. created by women that mirror and resonate your experience.
Right.
Acknowledgement can be a turn on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Yes. And we can find those erotic thoughts in a lot of places, you know, in experience. It's not always like, you know, seeing, you know, the hot guy or, right? It's just, yeah, there are a lot of places for inspiration. I love that. I'm going to look up that movie this afternoon.
Oh, I love Jessie Buckley. Anything she does now, I'm like, yes. I'm there. Mm-hmm. I so enjoyed that movie. And if you think about it, there was no erotic image and mm-hmm. there was no like, oh, they're hot or I want to fuck them. Mm-hmm. It was completely within.
Right, right.
I felt recognized.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like my experience and my story of being a woman was recognized and written down in form. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
So our inability to orgasm is a shift in our belief system that needs to happen, a ritual of touch, and also really kind of creating a boundary around ourselves.
Right.
And starting to go within and cycle sex positive energy and shutting out anything that is a suck.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything that doesn't serve us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, orgasm energy is creative energy. So there are tools to support your journey. We have Orgasm Essentials on bodysex.com/orgasm essentials. It's an online class that you can take. Some lectures and explicit imagery on how to touch.
Right. Support, explicit imagery. I love, Carolyn, like you show, like for vulva massage, vulva pleasure zones, you show places to explore, and then you have guided audio podcast that you can listen to while you're touching yourself.
It's key. It's almost like seeing someone else do it gives you permission.
Mm-hmm.
It's like after watching this movie, I felt a little more mouthy.
Right.
It was like,
yeah.
You know, and that's it. We really need to be with the communion of women
mm-hmm.
and things that are focused on our experience and our sexual model, you know, mm-hmm. it's really important for us to see the female model of sexual response.
Exactly. Orgasm isn't a mystery. Orgasm is for every single woman. We just need to educate ourselves, touch our bodies, and we can get there.